Hello everyone, this is Monsef Afkher and thank you so much for being here today and for joining us in this new call of Your Divine Uniqueness. Really so thrilled that Jill Mattson is back on the show. She's been with us during the last season. Yeah, I guess the last season, and it was really amazing call with her really powerful message, and also we listened to some of her healing music, which is really you feel the energy within your heart and you feel the power of the music that she creates. And I was listening to some of hers and really the energy, it's really incredible. And yeah, like the words can describe it, you need to experience it yourself. And today also we will play some of her attunements. So stay tuned for that. And so as I mentioned, we'll be talking about chakra attunements and dimensional shift in power. We'll be talking about that. We will listen to some of Jill's music, and also we'll have a Q&A. So if you have any questions, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone and or the web call to talk to Jill. And if you are on the webcast page, you can type in your questions on the question box. And yeah, so just very briefly about Jill. She is an artist, musician, four-time author, and widely recognized expert and composer in the field of sound healing. Yeah, so with that, Jill, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Monsef, for inviting me. And I'm excited that we can join together and bring forth some healing vibrations in the next hour.
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited about that. And yeah, as I said, I listened to some of your music or an album, and it was really exceptional. So I'm very excited about what you will be sharing with us today. So as I said, we'll be talking about the attunements. And this is something that you started bringing to the world recently. So I would love, like, before we start our discussion, just to have to understand what are the attunements, like how they can help us.
Mm-hmm. Well, an attunement. Let me think. It's actually easiest to explain it to you the manner in which I came to understand it. So it'll take a little bit longer. And it's a little bit of a story, but I just think it's easier because it's kind of like step by step that way. You don't have to jump with thinking. Okay, so I would start off just by saying my strongest psychic skill is that I easily do out-of-body experiences. They happen to me all the time. I can go in a country. I recognize places. I can look at people and see what they look like in past lives. And when I do this, I always wonder, you know, like if my lifetime right now, it has 100,000 moments in it. And if I were to have a past life of this in the future, why would I pick just one unique moment? What's so special about that that's really going to bless me today? Because that's really all I'm interested in. And, or bless the world today. Where's the lesson in this memory? So for many years, I'm doing these out-of-bodies, and I often wake up in ancient civilizations. And in fact, when I spent 25 years writing the book, The Lost Waves of Time, I often had out-of-body experiences. And that was very helpful because they had a different consciousness. They weren't even aware of some things we take for granted, and vice versa. And having those experiences enabled me to bring forth those ancient gifts. So anyway, back to these out-of-body experiences. I often awaken in Lemuria or Atlantis, or I suspect that's what I would name them, particularly in the very old ones in Lemuria and Atlantis, the Lemurians in particular. When I go back there, I'm not like in a human body, and neither is anybody else. We're all more ethereal. And you could say this is crazy, but this type of being is documented in the Sumerian books of Kings. They're called the Shining Ones. And they're their history says they live very long lives, like, you know, 50,000 years. They're also recorded in the Bible. They're called the giants there in Genesis. And in most of the ancient texts, they talk about this other species. So anyway, I go back, and time after time after time, I'm doing attunements. And I would watch myself making attunements. And as I said before, when this happens, I always ask myself, okay, why am I being shown this? What's about this that's going to bless this world, or what about me? And I didn't get that answer for many years. I just saw myself making them. And again, I think you need to be in the perspective of a more ethereal being to understand the idea about locks and involution. So, for involution, and that would be, you know, God, all that is, stepping down, or maybe focusing on just, instead of focusing on every radio channel there is, focusing on just one. So this crystallization down into material form for new experience. Only as a human being can we really believe that we're separate. As soon as you raise up to these more ethereal beings, they're all like a group tribe. There's no such thing as dissent, or you don't need forgiveness because nobody does anything that you don't all agree to. Mm-hmm. So the idea, you know, you can see why it might be kind of fun to experience life as a human. And also there's a tremendous amount of growth as a human. You learn to make choices on your own, which you really don't as a higher theory of being, because the group makes it. And you learn the consequences. You can learn forgiveness. You can learn negativity. You can learn mercy and kindness. All these things aren't even really possible in a higher consciousness. So anyway, what I'm doing lifetime after lifetime in these experiences, that I'm making these, if you will, these locks to shut down the group energy to allow us to focus on just, you know, being an individual. And I'm doing this from the point of view of a very ethereal being. Now, if you're a little bit like, you know, a fairy godmother or Casper the Ghost, or if you're very high energy, a physical lock like we use today to keep stuff safe, I mean, that's ridiculous because you can move right through it. So if these people are going to try to limit their consciousness and awareness so that they can focus and perceive themselves as an individual, it's going to be done with very ethereal energy or quantum energy. And in particular, it's going to be done with sound, which can be expressed as musical notes, rhythms, harmonics, intervals. It's going to be done with light, expressing as the colors of the rainbow. And it can be done with shapes. And throughout the whole ancient world, you'll note that people who are very, very sensitive notice that the energy is different from north, south, east, west. And shapes, literally, you can check with physics, create little tiny frequencies. So low volume, we don't hear them. It's very teeny-weeny dose. Think of quantum. Think of little. Think of very subtle. But all these things are ways to block energy flows to make us perceive reality like we're an individual. So here I am. For many years, while I'm writing this Lost Wave of Time, I slip out of my body, and now I'm again in a sound healing temple, and I'm doing attunements. And they're like a porthole. They're like a two-way door. It's like with the attunement, you can crystallize into matter, and if you choose, you can also go the other way. You can come back. But it's a pattern. It's a code of sound, color, and light. And I got the message at some point in this path that I made these throughout many lifetimes, myself and others. I'm not the only one. And But this lifetime, it's my honor to be able to redo them and open them so that we can start to use them back the other way. So why do you want an attunement? For more light, for more energy, which can be denoted as health. Oops, sorry about that. Or it can be denoted as mental acuity, spiritual gifts. So as we have these attunements become available, we're going to hasten our journey back to all that is. We're going to regain health and emotion and higher senses and higher energies. All good stuff. And then for years I was like, oh my goodness, how will I ever do this? And then it occurred to me that on antiquity, they divide sound into harmonics and they use those as vowel codes. Vowel codes are harmonics, and a harmonic is an after ripple of sound in which a portion of the sound energy falls into like a different pitch range. A, E, it sounds like E is higher in pitch, but it's not. Listen, A, E, same pitch. Yes. But the harmonic emphasis of E is higher. So when you go through the ancient world, you'll find that in the deep, deep, deep spiritual circles, the most prized path to enlightenment and back to all that is, it's vowel chants, it's harmonics, it's a sound code. And think to the Egyptians who didn't write vowels. Think to the Greeks who Pythagoras said children shouldn't even be exposed to vowels. Look to the Kabbalah and the ancient Jews. You're not even allowed to write a vowel of the name of God. When you see Yahweh, there's no vowels there because they were secret, they were sacred, they were powerful, they were the portal, they were the doorway. So there's two codes in the, there's two variables in an attunement. Mm-hmm. And that would enable you to create a shape, a color, and a sound. And they are the pitch and the harmonics. And the harmonics expressed as vowel codes. And I spent 25 years studying all this stuff and bringing it back. So I'm very well attuned to the ancient scales, which are different than ours, and the vowel patterns that they used in the holiest of holies, to connect with all that is. And you can go back and forth between shapes, colors, and sounds. And furthermore, the more I look at antiquity, you'll see like whenever there was an attunement done in an ancient society, there it is in cement. They'll write the code. And it's there to preserve for thousands of years. It's there until we're ready to understand how to use it. So here we are, and I got my first set of attunements. I hope to have many more as time goes on. But another way of thinking of an attunement is to think of Reiki. And Reiki, you know, is where people use their hands and white light comes out, and it's used for healing. Reiki's been around at least 20-some years. And it was incredibly novel and powerful, very kind of shocking, if you will, when it first came out, the whole idea. But as you take the Reiki course, when you get ready to graduate, you have an attunement. And the attunement, it looks like a scribble on a piece of paper. You just look at it. That's it. And then afterwards, it's like the portholes of your hands are opened, the chakras are opened, and white light comes out. Yeah. Now that we've been doing this for many, many, many years, we no longer need that attunement or porthole. But the information and the attunements I'm bringing, they're going to be very powerful individuals. But as people, more and more people get them and do them, then it opens up the portholes for everyone. And the Reiki attunement, being 20, 25 years old, is just the symbol. And that's very powerful. If you look, for example, in the ancient Hindu tradition, their yantras, which is a sacred geometry design, the masters in the Hindu tradition, the gurus, say, you can spend, you know, thousands of lives to get enlightenment, but if you want to do it in one, spend most of your time looking at a yantra. So they deem that, these masters, not to be frivolous, not to be, oh yeah, I'm looking at a picture, so what? But this is very, very powerful. So you can imagine that the Reiki attunement is very much like a yantra. And now that we as light workers across the globe have evolved, we're ready for some more powerful juju.
Yes.
And now we have attunements in color, and you can put them in colors, of course, relate to tones and sounds and harmonics. So I guess that's a real long-winded explanation, but I do hope it's clear that maybe you could ask questions if I wasn't real clear with something.
No, it was really, really clear, and I really loved all the explanation you gave us, because we really had the understanding of the origin of these attunements and really their power. Maybe one question is about using those attunements, like using the symbols and the sound. Like, do we need to set like intention when using them, or they do their healing work like organically without us like trying to intervene or something like that?
With intention, how to put it? Intention is your feelings. And your feelings in the subtle energy world, like, are much stronger than your thoughts. They're more powerful and more juicy, and an action being even stronger than the emotions. But nonetheless, so an intention is a very important carrier wave. And waves combine, we're just not conscious of it. Think to your voice, you know, hello. I mean, the message is very different. And all I had to do was simply change my intent, and it carried on the sound wave. So when you have good intentions, it's kind of like opening up your doors to receive, and you receive at a much greater dosage. People exposed to the sound patterns will receive that frequency, but if they don't want it, they would be able to shut down partially their receipt of it. We do it all the time. You know, somebody's annoying, we tune them out. So, yes, you would need to do intentions. And one of the things that I understood was that the attunement is a powerful light gift. And what I did was I went, again, through antiquity and took their most powerful gathering light techniques to prepare for these chakra attunements. So there are videos with this package, and, you know, we can go over them, but I think that would be very enlightening, so people start to understand not just the usage of the attunements, but the opening up to receive and channel and be a vastly huger quantity of consciousness and light. So rather than just, you know, we're going to listen to some on the show, but in the program that I offer, we kind of like step up your energies. We keep adding light, adding light, adding light, adding light, adding light, attunement. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we do have a couple queued up if you want to play them. People would expect vowel sounds, And mm-hmm. it's the vowel sounds and the pitches that is the actual attunement. I also know from my work that it doesn't have to be set in front and center for you to get the full impact of it. So I made them very pleasant with inserting my own healing music. And I have guest appearances of dolphins, whales, star tones, turtles, languages of light, sacred geometry, ATP, oxygen, all kinds of blessings. Also, I added to the mix to just make it an uplifting experience.
Yeah. Beautiful. So do we play now one of the music?
Sure.
From the attunement? Okay, so do we start with the root chakra, the front one?
Okay, the front of the root chakra. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. That was beautiful. Really, like it creates this peaceful feeling, and this mm-hmm. I don't know, it's that sense of stillness that it brings. So yeah, that was really beautiful.
Thank you. You see, you can use attunements for many different things, and mm-hmm. in this program, if you will, I'm using the attunements to open up and make your chakras wider. The chakra system right now is like an energy wheel for light, and little subtle energies come in. And they travel on our meridians, which you could think of like a subway system, in the body. And so they, you know, the subtle energy goes in the chakra, gets in the meridians, goes in the subway system, and it becomes the blueprint for our body. It nourishes our body. And what the attunements are doing is, as much as you can handle, because you have, we all have integration issues on how much, not taking too much too fast. Like, you don't want the Kundalini energy, for example, in your spine to raise too fast either, or else you can become very ill. So you want to take it like in steps. And so what we're doing here is the attunements are transforming your chakras to be much more than a funnel, taking in a little tiny stream of subtle energy. We're turning them into great big portholes, taking in subtle energy. So instead of thinking of them like a colored LED light, you know, think of them as a big floodlight is what we're working on. And that's what the attunements are doing. They're opening up these, they're opening up our chakras so they no longer like funnel it down to a tiny stream of light, but open it back up to allow us to receive a huge stream of light within the different chakras. Furthermore, there's going to be front and back chakras. And for many thousands of years, you know, we've kind of lost consciousness of our back chakras. In antiquity, they talk about the back chakras as the chakras of the gods. So the higher evolved beings, their kings, the shining ones, these other ethereal beings that were more evolved, these people have their back chakras every bit as big and as important as their front chakras. So there's several things going on here in this little process that I have is that we do an attunement for the front of the chakra, and then we also do an attunement for the back of the chakra. And so that we're really opening them wide open. And what's kind of cool about that, because I, and many others, can see, you know, you can see like Metatron or different higher beings. And they kind of do look like a fairy godmother, like you could poke your finger in them. And like Metatron, for example, has like this luminous rainbow kind of glimmers and clear light and, you know, different types of colors of, you know, metals and sparkles in his aura when you see him. And so, like, where did all that light come from? Chakras. And in some of my CDs, they're targeted to go to chakras above your head and kind of massage them and loosen down energy. So the white light and the blessing you get, it's really just you on a higher level. You're just opening portals. So the ultimate objective of these attunements is to open those chakras up, allow you to become more of a light being. And what does that mean? It means greater consciousness, greater health, greater healing abilities. And if enough of us have this type of power and start walking on the earth, it means huge evolutionary changes. Because it's like, you know, it's just like little stations where we're downloading really high doses of high frequency energy. And that is so influential on those people around us and our worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So Jill, as you now start talking about like the back of the chakras and the relationship with the front, do we maybe also play the root chakra, the back of the root chakra?
Hey, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you.
Wow. That was amazing. Like, we wish it was longer, but it was really, really powerful. So Jill, as you just said a little bit earlier, those attunements are helping us like to step by step to open this flood on our chakra, to open our chakras, so we can receive like this huge amount of light.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And when we use both like front and back, is it something necessary for us to do this or
yes.
to accelerate this?
Yes. Well, one of the things that it's really kind of interesting is the color represented by the front of the chakra is the back chakra is always the complementary color. So the front chakra being green into the heart, the back being red. And think of the root chakra being red on the front, and inside your body would be the back being green. So there's several things to learn there. One that you were kind of hinting is that by opening and strengthening those back chakras, then what I do is there is an exercise in the package that we work with combining the energy of the back chakra with the front chakra and opening them up as one huge tube of light. And so there's several things going on there. That's one, is to connect the front and the back chakras, because we're thinking about going from human to superhuman to higher energy fields in a human body. And so we're looking to get all kinds, tons more light, consciousness, and information. So that's one way we do it, and that's part of this program, is to connect
yes.
the front and the back. Another can be found in the Egyptian priesthood. They were very concerned about the order in which you tune chakras. And from my out-of-body experiences, the chakras were shut down in pairs as we involved or became denser or became more human. And they were shut down in pairs with the exception of the heart chakra. The heart chakra was never fully shut down. But the others, at least in the back, had been completely shut down. And so they're shut down in pairs that form white light. So you might be operating, let's say, on full test gas of light. And then as we stepped it down, maybe we would lose like the third eye, the throat being blue and the back being orange because they're complementary colors, and then mm-hmm. the sacral, the blue and the orange. So both of those would have been dimmed or turned down at the same time. And then we'd kind of evolve a bit, and then maybe a couple thousands of years later, they'll shut down or close off another chakra pair. And they were shut down in pairs because they were balanced like the white light combos. So one of the things you find very prevalent in the ancient Egyptians and the Kabbalists is tuning your chakras in certain orders and combining the chakra colors, like meditating on the throat, front and back, and the sacral, front and back, and combining those white light pairs. The other thing that you find very much in the Kabbalists, they call them permutations. If we're going to return to God and all that is, we want to be all energies. Energies expressed as sound and every nuance
yes.
of sound. So what some of the exercises in the package are, the ancient Egyptian chakra pairs in the proper tones, the proper orders and sequences. And this is good for opening your chakras. It's also really good for Reiki to use this pattern and massage as well. So the ancients have many of these steps recorded, and I'm just really bringing them forward. So anyway, we have the chakra permutations, and then there's another thing that is concerning in that when we're going to go from a human being, when we formerly just had like chakras, think of them as little tiny little LED lights. And if we're going to go to embodying light more completely and more fully, we need to worry about the spaces in between the chakras as well. And again, throughout antiquity in the inner circles, you know, your past life, your pain that you're really not ready to acknowledge or deal with yet from past lives, you know, is often stored in between your root and your sacral chakra. And there's also quite a bit of space between the sacral and the solar plexus. And so those two areas, there's meditations in this package to open up those areas in your body and start to fill it up with light. And where we're heading is the combination of this this package, or this, I don't know what you want to call it, this process, is that we're going to tip the chakras. So once we've opened them up, filled in the spaces, instead of most of the chakras, like your sacral, solar, heart, throat, and third eye, they all run east-west, front-back. So what we're going to do is we're going to tip them so they're running north and south. And that's the configuration you would see in the Metatron or these higher beings. They're huge channels of light, not just dots, if you will. Mm-hmm. So kind of, you know, going back and summarizing, we're doing the attunements. We're opening up the front and back chakras, particularly the back. That's a good exercise to do over and over and over again. And then we're going to combine them, create white light. We're going to do chakra permutations from the Kabbalah and the Egyptian traditions. Their tree of life is almost like a tonal pattern. It's the same kind of thing, you know. There's certain orders, and you want to do every order to reach full consciousness. So you do the permutations and do the pairs of light. And another thing is that as a human being, we want to connect with Earth, because if we don't connect with Earth, you know, our body gets sick. Mm-hmm. And so we work on chakras below your feet and work on the two chakras above your head. So there's also attunements and efforts in this program to not just turn your body into a channel of light, but to nourish your body through Earth, connect through Earth. Our mother, who's very consciousness, is very conscious, and to bring down the higher celestial energies, to have this huge highway of light reach all the way above our life stream. And I don't know, maybe I've been talking a lot. Maybe, do you want to listen to another attunement? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, absolutely.
Okay.
Great. Okay, do I play the heart chakra?
Whatever you like. Go ahead.
Okay. Heart chakra, the front.
All right.
Beautiful. Yeah, that one, it was also amazing. It's like the image I got, it was like my heart chakra like opening more and more and more and slowly, and like white light coming in. So yeah, that's
beautiful. Yeah.
Do I play the back also? Or,
yeah, I think that's a great idea. Let's do them and feel the impact of both of them.
Okay.
Good idea.
Okay, heart chakra at the back. Beautiful. Yeah, here I really felt the energy in my upper back.
Now think of the energy in your upper front of your heart, and just keep going back and forth, like an infinity loop, and then burst them together into a big ball. Nice.
Yeah, it feels like more light are coming in, like more than when we were doing like the front alone. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. They're very powerful as a pair.
Mhm. Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, next you could pair them with the root. If we could, we could even do that right now. We could have people just imagine what they felt with the root, and then imagine what they felt with the heart. And they're the same color, so they're going to loop together. That's how sound works. Energy transfers on the same frequency. Nice.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really yeah, it brings again this peaceful feeling as we had in the beginning. Yeah, very, yeah. Very amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And
yes.
Throughout the, mm-hmm. the Lost Ways of Time book, that's where I went into the vibratory energy. I would call this vibratory energy. And in the packet, we have the pictures that go along with the sounds, too.
Yes.
And the sounds incorporate the colors. But at any rate, throughout the Lost Ways of Time, there's vibratory energy exercises, like sound-based ones, that I would consider this being one of those. And I go through the different cultures. And
yeah.
What I present in that book is that we started out as all that is, and we're slowly getting more focused. We're having the aim of being responsible, making choices, seeing consequences, understanding duality. You know, up in the higher realms, they don't quite understand the enjoyment of a nice cup of coffee, or you know, it's all joy and bliss all the time. So
yeah.
There's a lot down here in our world, yes, positive and negative, but there's a lot down here that's a whole lot of fun to experience. And we came down to learn, to master, to overcome the negative, and it's almost like time is like playing us over time. We
mm-hmm.
we crystallize into matter. And now through time, we're going to start to join together with all that is. And this is a beautiful process of quickly just opening up to more and more light. And
mm-hmm.
the impact that has on others, of course, is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Yeah, really beautiful. And yeah, Jill, as we started talking about the program and also the book, I would love enough if before we start taking questions from our audience, if we can talk maybe a little bit
sure.
more about the program. And
sure.
yeah, I want to share the link. It's yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jill and number 10, yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jill10, J-I-L-L and number 10. Or you can click on the special offer button on the webcast or the replay page. Yeah, so yeah, you said we have like the program, it includes the attunements, like the videos and also the symbols and also the MP3s. So do you have like other like more information you want to share with us about those?
Well, there is 5.5 hours of videos going through exercises to combine your front and back chakras, the chakra permutations, the addition chakra chants, the different things that we discussed, the chakra tipping. So those videos are there, as well as the attunements in the video with the pictures. So you could do the pictures separate, you could watch the video, or you can put them on your phone or listen to them frequently. As you experienced, you know, you listen to it and you just feel the chakra opening, taking in more. Of course, you want to listen and listen and listen. And with each listen, you're going to open a little more. Kind of like peeling an onion. It's done one skin at a time. And that's just perfect because it takes us time to integrate and rebalance with new light. And also, I believe we included Cosmic Streams, and that is a CD that has the different front chakra and also above your head as well, the front chakra tunings from cultures around the world. The mm-hmm. Hindus tune their chakras differently than the ancient Chinese. Lao Tzu had different ideas than some of the Hindu gurus. And same with the Egyptians and right on across the globe. So in that CD, I combined 11 methods, and then I sung it with sound. So a root chakra, and this is the front, is connected with a color, It also can be converted to sound. It's associated with a crystal, also can be connected to sound. Associated with an organ in your body, also can be tuned with sound, etc., etc. Chakras are associated with harmonics, little after ripples of sound. They're associated with colors, different metal bowls. They're associated with rhythms, different instruments which produce different harmonics and techniques. So there's all that in a CD. And also the book, The Lost Ways of Time. I just think it's a really fascinating venture to see if you remember from your past life as you read that. For me, of course, I do that easily. Man, I just, I would read something over and over again, and I'd like, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
And it took me back. And I understood it because they have such a different way of thinking. But we were more attuned in some of these earlier, like the Lemurians were higher evolved than we are. So any memories I have that takes me back there, or anything that seems familiar, or anything I want to study further, is just going to lift me up faster and faster. And it's a whole lot of fun, too. A lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Like when, as you said, like when we read something like repeatedly, like we get like new messages that we don't get like from our initial reading. So it's, I don't know, it's like we are opening like to receive more messages and more energy, and also allow the integration. As you said, like the integration takes some time for us.
Right. Right, right. And even just to use your imagination, you know, we've been taught that it's a child's tool. Well, wow, that's a real disservice to mankind, because our imagination is a tool to enable us to receive more energies. So don't worry about something if you're just imagining it. If you're imagining getting more light, roll with it and use that powerful innate ability to kind of transport, because although our body may not leave this dimension, our consciousness can, our thoughts or feelings. It's very subtle. And we can go elsewhere and retain energies and light. How cool is that?
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill, for offering this program to our beautiful audience. Really, really, this is an amazing program and a great opportunity to use those attunements to help us bring more light into our being and deepen our connection with all there is. And this will like our connection with all there is really like it will help us like on our own to know more about our truth, to know who we are, and also bring our life to others. So this is not something that we benefit from, but others too will benefit when we deepen our connection and we bring more light. So thank you so much, Jill, for offering those this program, and also we have The Lost Ways of Time, the book, and also the Cosmic Stream CD in MP3 format. So thank you so much. And yeah, so everyone, I really encourage you to take advantage of this program. And you can get there again by clicking on the special offer button on the webcast or the replay page, or you can visit the link yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jill10. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jill10. J-I-L-L. And number 10. Beautiful.
Thank you, everyone.
So, Jake, can we take maybe some questions?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so everyone, if you are on the phone or the web call, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. And also for those of you on the webcast, you can type in your questions on the question box. And also we'd love to hear your feedback about the attunements that we play today. So, yeah. All right, so here we have Stephanie on the web call from Aberdeen. Hello? Hello, Stephanie, on the web call from Aberdeen. Are you with us? Stephanie? Okay. Hello? Okay, so we will try another caller. We have a caller from Mitu Chen. Phone number ended with 9141. Hello?
Hi, Monsef. This is Diana. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
Oh, fine. First time I'm talking to you. I've listened to you on other teleseminars many times. I have a question about this program. Is this a gradual process? It's almost like it gradually integrates you into the attunements on its own. It's nothing, something we have to be concerned about going too fast.
I think it's designed to take enough time with the different layers to start, like I put it in an order. So, you know, you start with strengthening your lower chakras and then work on the back. And most people don't do that all in one setting. So I suppose you could, but it's probably best doing it in different segments and then repeating the segments. For each time you do it, for example, in the back chakras, you just open them up wider. So it's also a really good thing to repeat many times. Just keep going over and over, and each time you can feel it getting wider and wider. Just like Monsef said, you know, I can feel the light coming in and, you know, opening that chakra right up. And each time, it's just a little bit more powerful. So I guess it's kind of, to some extent, I think you need to not overdo it.
Okay.
And the only thing I would say is that when it feels good, and goes, oh, that feels really beautiful. That's your body's way of saying, oh, that's great.
Mm.
But sometimes when I push myself spiritually, I almost feel overloaded and I have trouble
right. Focusing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good time to let it integrate. Just put
okay.
it away and do it again later.
So as a hypothetically, I could start with the root chakra and start at the front of the back, which is better.
The front we've already are using. The front is not as big of a change as the back is.
Okay.
So the front, you know, we've been operating on. You receive more energy from the front. The back
okay.
is more where you give, and therein is the responsibility of the gods. But I would work on them in pairs, or perhaps, like, work on some of the build-up exercises, like the chakra pairs, or opening up the front and the back and just combining them, and then just let that sit for a bit, and then later on go back. And when you really feel pretty good, that's when you tip those chakras and start to make that huge channel of light going through your body.
Mm-hmm.
And you can
now,
even just play with that. You know, let it feel it like an elevator go below your feet up to above your head.
Mm.
Very helpful.
Apparently, I've brought myself into so much forgetfulness that I've never experienced feeling my chakras. This is like a mental concept for me. So can I expect that as I work with this program, and I totally believe in working with sound as vibrational healing. This is very, very important to me, which is why I'm interested in this program. But my question would be, can I possibly expect that this will then open me up to physically feeling, experiencing these, or I might experience it in a different way through a color?
Well, everybody experiences maybe a little different, some with fragrance, some with color, but the more you focus on it, the more you're going to feel it. And this is something I would do, just offer this. As you're going through and you're listening to an attunement, we'll say, heart front, just pretend. Say, okay, I'm just going to pretend. I'm just going to use my imagination. If I felt mm-hmm. this, what would it feel like? You see, when we can't feel something, there's something in our mental construct that says, you know, this is too much of a gift for me. Well, of course it's not. You've already got the gift. It's just a matter of reopening it. Or we tell ourselves we're not ready or we're not good enough for this, and it's all unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come in with like an exercise of just pretend, sometimes the door will open and there it is.
I've had experience with a guided imagery when nothing's coming. I said, okay, make it up. And then in a split second, it'll change to what it really is.
Yes, exactly. That's beautiful.
It's just like saying, okay, this is the direction you want to go in. Go with it. And this is, okay, I got it.
Yeah. And then here's the other step. Trust. You know, we think you need all these high-powered psychic skills. No, you don't. You need to use your imagination and trust. Then when you're giving feelings and information, just don't doubt. Just trust.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay. Thank you so much, Jill.
Thank you. Lisa. Take care, and thanks for calling.
Thank you, Diana. Wonderful. What you said is very, very powerful. Like, because sometimes we start like we try to understand things, but our body like talk to us through our feelings. So we just need to trust us and follow us. Yeah.
And trust life all the time. Trust what comes in front of us. Trust that if we're listening to this, there's something here. Trust that a difficulty, once we solve it, might lead and open a very special door for us. It's like trusting is a virtue, but you need to trust with things that feel light and loving, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does. Beautiful. Okay, let's try Stephanie again. I saw her. She dropped her hands and raised it back. Hello, Stephanie, on the web call from Aberdeen.
Is there a button she needs to push to be to have her audio go through?
No, maybe it's on her mic, I think. Hello, I see she's here. She's unmuted.
Did she type in her question?
Okay, so Stephanie, you can just type in your questions on the webcast page. All right, and we have, let's move to the webcast. We have Betsy. She said about the attunement. Wow, so beautiful. Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you.
And we have a question from Barbara from Ontario. She said, I've been speaking light language for about 5 years. I don't know what the sounds mean, but I love it, and it helps me and others. However, I have RA, and I'm just so exhausted. I wondered if you have anything you might suggest. So cheery today. I know there's such an amazing world out there for me. Thank you and blessings.
Okay, she has what? RA has?
Yes.
RA. Do you know what RA is?
I searched maybe. There is, I found like rheumatoid arthritis.
Arthritis. Maybe? Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Alrighty, well, let's first of all talk about the light language. Most people, I can do light languages as well, and probably most of our listeners, if you really gave it a shot, you could probably do it too. So psychic gifts are not for just the special. Psychic gifts are for everyone. And the thing about light languages is that most of us that do them, like Barbara, we don't know what they mean. And that is not an accident. We tend to hear words and feel that all their significance is in the symbolism or the content of the word. But in actuality, the actual sound of our voice, it's a pitch, it's a rhythm, it's got emotion and thought and intention encoded on. Whether or not we're conscious that we've done that, our voice is like sending out little packets of ourselves for other people to ingest. Ancient masters would begin healing by altering the pitch in their voice, shooting the actual energy for something like rheumatoid arthritis right on their voice. And I don't think I'm there yet, but ancient masters can used their voice for healing. Notice it, you know, part of Jesus' healing was his consciousness. It also was saying, you are healed, using his voice. So of course those sounds make you feel good because they're exactly what you need. They're what you need spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And to me, Languages of Light trains us to think a lot deeper than the thumbprint of what the symbolism in our word means, to understand that the actual juicy sound is something that we're ingesting and is becoming us. And, you know, let's say someone like you and me, I don't understand either, Barbara, when I'm doing Languages of Light, what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can always go underneath and get the feeling of it, which is usually harmonious with what it means. And I can not have my mind doubt and block because I don't know what it means. So the fact that we don't know what it means is a beautiful, beautiful gift. And on to the rheumatoid arthritis. I do have a book out called Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing, and it discusses the work of bioacoustics. And there are actually numerous ways throughout the world or different people who are using a holographic piece of your energy to get into your body and look at all the frequencies within. Said differently, everything in your body is holographic. I have a friend who analyzes your sweat, and he can look at everything going in your body. Well, in this particular book, Secret Sounds, it's just wonderful because you can access it by phone. I don't offer those services, but there's a wealth of practitioners who do. They can analyze your voice and see why you are not digesting your food properly and receiving the nutrients that cause the rheumatoid arthritis. Because I remember Sherry told me that once, that arthritis was an inability to, you can take a pill, but that doesn't mean your body uses it. And so they can go in and find exactly what you need to start to ingest the calciums or whatever it is you need and harmonize and balance out that disorder. You see, when you look at the body with math, you don't have to worry about how much we know with chemistry or physics or a medical scientific study. You just count the numbers, cycles per second of things, and there's all kinds of formulas, like your digestion's a formula, and you can count the cycles a second and do the math. So they're very successful at coming up with insights into how our body works in terms of physics or biology, but also just getting the sound that you uniquely need. So I would just suggest that, yes, sound can be used to go after something like rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
And also thank you, Barbara, for your question.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another one. We have Kat from Tucson. Hi, Jill.
Okay.
I have success being a conduit to help and heal others, but feel stuck when healing my own issues and energy bodies. Would you give me advice or help, please? And thank you. Peace and love.
Okay. Sometimes I have a little trouble understanding you. She's asking for help with...
Because she... She is successful in helping others, healing others, but she feels stuck when healing her own issues and energy body.
She needs
help about that. Yeah.
Let me think. Alrighty. I'm just seeing a past life. And in this past life, it looks like it was in, I don't know, maybe the Middle Ages. Maybe the Dark Ages, and she is a healer, and she was being accused of witchcraft because, that's what happened then, particularly if you owned a lot of property and you were single, then you see the church would own your property after you know, you were killed for being a witch. And I see her being accused of not healing certain people or administrating herbs. So as a healer, you know, we all understand that we help people for their next step, and that is most of the time getting physically better. But I'll just tell you a little personal story I had. I, as a friend, not literally, but as a friend, I kind of adopted a boy who had Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And that's an awful disease. And it ends with death about 18 years old. And my friend David, you know, he was about 17 years old, and he was horribly, horribly crippled. And it was on his deathbed, and I just didn't want him to die. He was such a beautiful person. And I did energy work. I prayed with him. I talked with him, and I believe that I talked him out of it. I talked him out of passing. And he lived another 6 months, and they were awful. He was in such pain. And it was in my face that I did heal him. But I healed him so that he could receive more pain was all I did. And then he passed. And it was fun because after he passed, he came back to me and basically said that was a gift. He allowed that to happen on a higher level so that I would know at some point in time if a soul is meant to pass, you don't get to interfere with that. You may actually send them light and ask their higher self to do what's best. And if that person is going to pass and you can't change it, then your prayer and healing enables that person to pass quicker without pain. So in essence, in this past life, in the Middle Ages, I'm seeing that the community, of course, is going to accuse you of witchcraft, but also you're just so sincere and you feel so badly that you helped someone, you did some healing work for them, and they passed. And what you didn't understand at that time is that you did indeed gift that person. They were going to pass no matter what you did, but that you did help them. And because you felt so bad, and then, of course, it's amplified by the community accusing you of all these awful things, you denied yourself your own healing. So sometimes it's like if you had a chain of dominoes standing up and you hit one domino and all the other ones fall. If you don't correct the root problem where the first domino fell, it's still going to keep falling. So sometimes when you work on someone, if you don't get to the root of the problem, you can take away their pain or symptoms for the moment. And then the next day they're back. That's because you didn't get to the root. And I'm suggesting that the root of your problem is that you need to understand that in that past lifetime, it's almost like you blocked down healing for yourself and that you need to trust life, trust what unfolds, and realize that you... In a way, you need to forgive yourself, but there's really nothing to forgive yourself for, and to feel fully embodied as a healer. And I think that will open some blocks for you, my dear.
Mm, absolutely. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill. And Katia, we would love to hear your feedback about Jill's guidance. So please just share with us on the webcast page. And thank you for the question. All right. We have Stephanie. She now works on the webcast. She said, does each chakra have a frequency associated with it? I listened to a talk about the 9 frequencies and 528 hertz, and I wonder if this is associated with chakras. Thank you.
Yes, each frequency, each chakra does have a frequency associated with it. Think of each chakra as like a rainbow color. So the root being red, which is a different red light, has a different cycle per second than, let's say, blue light. And in musical terms, you can take light down, octaves, musical octaves, and the manner in which you do that, you just take the number of cycles per second and divide it by two, and then you go like high C, low Z. And so you can take light down and take a look at it, how it corresponds to a musical note. So the red is going to correspond to a musical note of C, the orange a D, and the yellow an E. Today on our pianos, a half note is the smallest, the closest we can get. Listen, it's the smallest interval we have. The frequencies are as close as possible in our music system. That wasn't true in the antiquity. They had scales, for example, with more notes. They had many more scales. And today we think of like the musical scale as fixed. Well, it's anything but fixed. In an octave, you can have a higher octave, you can have 10,000 frequencies. And if you're going to pick seven for musical notes, major notes, there's a whole lot of options in there. So one way to think of your chakras, I kind of mentioned that notes and colors are interchangeable. So you could think of red as like C, going C a little higher, C a little lower. You could kind of band it. And you'll find that with most people, subtle energy, things that are soft, can vary a little bit per person. Whereas like your bones, something that's harder or more consistent, that frequency per person. So I would think that your chakras, mine could be just a little bit different than yours. And again, when you're tuning to your chakras, you just want to go what feels right. Or if somebody's going E for a third eye or a crown chakra, whatever, if you want to take it up or a little, and it feels really good, I would do that. And so I guess I'm saying that, yes, each chakra has a different color. It can vary slightly from person to person. And it could have different scales than we're familiar with today. You're talking about 528 hertz or cycles per second. And that's not in our piano today. We're in our music today. That's from a scale, well, it could be from a scale that's about 300 years old at the time of Rudolf Steiner. It was in Italy, I believe, that they were protesting. One of the violinists was protesting. They took a musical note A, and they, they keep raising and lowering the pitch range. And 300 years ago, we had a scale that was just a little bit deeper in pitch and was more organic in that it mirrored patterns in nature. So one of the things people overlook on musical scales is that we have kind of like a GMO on our pianos today, whereas mm-hmm. the ancient people were more precise and copied the spiral in the sky. And furthermore, since, let's say, 300 years ago, we've taken the pitch up, and it no longer resonates with our heart chakra. So our scale goes just a little bit off. And so what she's referring to is which scale or which pitches, because remember we talked it could be a little range of pitches for each color or note of the chakra. And I'm just saying that there's lots of pitches and lots of scales that we've lost touch of throughout antiquity. In antiquity, they used scales that created white light in your aura that highly clairvoyant people could see was very healthy. So using a scale such as like that to tune your chakras, like the solfeggio scale, that's a great idea. I think that would probably feel really nice. And one other thing, as I discussed in my Lost Ways of Time book, is that when we look back 300, 500 years, we see our tuning note resonating more squarely with our heart. But if you go back a couple thousand or 2,000, see that the Hindus, their tuning note resonated with your sacral chakra. in the ancient Chinese had a tuning note that resonated with the musical note F, not A. And as you go through antiquity, you will see cultures that tune on C, C sharp, D, the Druids did D, E, F, G. And although I bemoan the fact that our scale pitch is rising and it's taking us out of our heart, which I believe is not a good thing to massage our heart, but I believe that it's headed for our throat. And perhaps when it rises a bit more, we'll learn to speak our truth, which is also a powerful gift. So I hope that's gets at your answer, my dear Stephanie.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill. And Stephanie Chirot, thank you so much. Beautiful. Yeah,
okay.
That's definitely. Thank you, Stephanie. We have also Imsley, I think. Her name is written as E-M-S-L-E-Y. She's from San Diego. Okay, and she said, "Hi, Jill. Love your work and so happy I opened my emails just in time to make this call. How does frequency and crystals work together? Are there specific crystals such as Phi Vogel or Vogel crystals that correlate or enhance certain sound frequencies?"
I know, dear Emsley, and I just love her. So thank you for calling in, Emsley. And everything is energy. We might think that, you know, a doorknob is a thing, but actually it's energy and it vibrates. So do crystals have frequencies? Absolutely. And you can think of the crystal kingdom as like a huge musical score, a huge musical orchestra with octaves and octaves and octaves. You have crystals that on a higher clairaudience would create pink, or crystals that would create yellow. And I'm not talking about color of the crystal. I'm talking about the sound. You have crystals that create violet. You have crystals that have like little rainbow flashes in them. And these all do equate to sound. So that part of your answer is absolutely. And energy is also housed by consciousness. Again, we tend to think that things are things, but everything has consciousness, not free will perhaps, but energy is conscious. And you can think of, and here's another thought, it's kind of pompous, I know, I always used to think that souls only inhabit a human form, but how could my beloved dog not have a soul? Of course she does. And there's so much other things that have consciousness. I have learned now to talk to the trees. And do they have consciousness? Oh, yeah. Are they aware? Oh, yeah. And is the crystal kingdom aware and does it have consciousness? Yeah. So the crystal kingdom as a conscious being has ascended and is a, it's a higher octave. It's a higher frequency than we are. It's a blessing. That's why we go out and buy these crystals, and they're really beautiful, and we surround ourselves with them. And in my Crystal Realms CD, I have frequencies of a dozen crystals. I have microscopic recording sound tapes of crystals, and I channel consciousness silently on tracks from the crystal kingdom. So, dear Emsley, yes. Just think of the crystal kingdom as an ethereal musical instrument. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill. And thank you, Ansley, for the questions. Beautiful question. So, yeah, we have more questions, but I think we have only 1 minute. I don't know, because if we can add maybe a couple of minutes, if you want to share with us, Jill, like a brief message, because I understand that you channeled the Egyptian pantheon in the attunement. So I was wondering if you have maybe a brief message for us.
Yeah. In the attendance, in the videos, rather than myself instructing them, I simply channeled from the ancient Egyptian pantheon. So, sure, I'd love to do that. I'm thinking that Isis is here. And here we go. Just a minute. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I am honored and delighted to be here, and I am excited to bring forth information about the chakra attunements. I wish you to take a second look at many of the gods in the Egyptian pantheon. Think of the pictures of Horus, for example, and he has a bright golden ball above his head. And I myself often am depicted with a ball looking like a pink beach ball on my head. Notice that the colors represent musical pitches and also correspond to light energy in your body. Also, these particular chakras, because that is what these balls above our head are fully lit. And we utilize ancient techniques that the Lemurians and early Atlanteans did to fill ourselves full of nutritious light to enable us to perceive higher frequencies and receive spiritual nutrition. That can be, in a byproduct, could be physical health. So it has benefits on your dimension as well. So I welcome you because I know that some of you listening have been in my temples, and I hope that you recognize my voice. I would love to invite you to learn and read about my teachings, and I will work with you if you call. So I bless you and I love you, my sister and brethren.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill, for the message.
Could you feel what Isis felt like?
Mm-hmm.
Could you feel the energy of her?
It's how to describe it. It was like comforting. Maybe there's this energy of trust in it.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was.
She was associated with mother.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal mother in the Egyptian world.
Okay.
Perhaps our mother.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
And also thank you for all the time you spent with us. That was really, really amazing time we spent with you, and the information, it was really, really powerful. So thank you so much. Thank you for answering our audience beautiful questions. And also thank you for putting together the program and offering it to our audience. So I'm so grateful to you, Jill. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to you too. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. And so everyone, I want to thank you for being here today, for sharing with us your beautiful energy, and thank you for your questions. Yeah, I apologize we didn't take all the questions. So, but I hope you found your answers through Jill's guidance. So, yeah, thank you so much. And again, I really encourage you to take advantage of the program that Jill is offering us. And you can get there by clicking on the special offer button on the webcast or the replay page. Or you can visit the link yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jill10. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jill10. JILL10. And so with that, I'm sending you so much love and see you on the next call. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. Goodbye.